Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. You know, we have nothing in ourselves to be able to help any of us make heaven our home. It's going to take the Lord being able to reveal to us things about us that we can make adjustments in our life. I'm thankful for this opportunity to be together. I have something I'd like to share with you today. A word that we don't use very often. That word is ponder. To meditate. To contemplate. You know, the world around us today is just given passing thoughts. Television is just blips of information. God would like for us to meditate, to stop and to ponder, to do some serious thinking. When the shepherds had the angels visit them, and they went in to find Jesus, it said Mary pondered these things in her heart. She didn't have a whole lot to say. She didn't go around talking about it. She pondered those things in her heart. It is very important for us today to ponder some things in our heart. I'd like to start with a verse in Proverbs 4 and 26. It says, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. It would do each of us well to ponder the direction that I'm going. And you know, I'm going to need help even with that. Because it said, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. So I'm going to have to lay aside my thinking about it and ask the Lord to help me as I ponder the path of my feet. There's another verse in Psalms. Psalms 119 and 59. I thought on my ways. You know what? It'll do us all well to stop and think on our ways. I really believe that's what this meeting is for. It's for me to stop and think on my ways. Because possibly, sometimes I might need to do what this verse is saying. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to thy testimony. I made haste, and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. After pondering some things, realized I was going in a wrong direction. You know, that does not mean that I'm off into sin. A lot of times we don't just fall off into sin. There is something that just starts us off in a little wrong direction. And because it's not wrong, I don't see it as something that can cause me trouble out in the future. But the Lord desires to be able to help me as I ponder some things to give me some direction for my life. There is something I would like for us to ponder today, and that is the word balance. You know, we take for granted the natural ability for us to balance. Until something goes wrong, maybe you get sick and you stand up quick and everything starts spinning and you cannot balance. Then you realize, wow, this was something what God created in man. The ability of that inner ear to be able to give us equilibrium, to be able to maintain a balance. Natural balance is good, and we also need spiritual balance. I was thinking of an example. There was a man a few years ago. He was a tightrope walker. And I have never figured why they would ever want to take that trade up. But he went to Chicago, and he stretched a 3/4-inch steel cable between two of the high-rise buildings in Chicago, hundreds of feet above the ground, and made the announcement, I'm going to walk across this at night. And crowds were there below. They were just tiny specks. He was so high off the ground. Why you would ever step off a building on a 3/4-inch cable, I'll not know. But you know, many people have tightrope walked before. And so you're going to have to do something a little different to get a larger crowd. So he said, I will use no fall protection. It's one mistake and it's over. And on top of that, he said, a lot of people can walk a straight cable. This cable will have an incline from one building to another. So he will have to walk this 3/4-inch cable uphill and balance. There's also something about Chicago that it's known for. They said it's a windy city. And I watched as he started his walk, and you could see his clothes shaking. No, maybe it was from nervousness too, but the wind was blowing, and he had to make adjustments for that. And as he took step by step, and his shoes were very soft, to where, I mean, that's all this gripping. Put one foot in front of another, get the grip. And then, of course, the cable has got slack in it, so he's going down for a little bit, but now he's got all the uphill climb. And it's just hundreds of feet off the ground. It's just, will these shoes grip that cable on top of, can I balance? And I just felt so much relief when he stepped off onto the other building. And for him. And then he said, folks, I'm not through. He said, I will walk it again, blindfolded. Now, I thought, come on, you know, this is like suicide. But he put on a blindfold. Now there's nothing but the feeling in your feet. There is nothing else to guide you step by step. And he's got the same incline to go back up again. And step by step, he would put his foot, find the cable, rest it on it, balance it, and go up another step. And he made it. You know, folks, life is a tightrope walk. Each of us have a desire at the end of our life to step off into heaven. And there are many obstacles for us. There are a lot of young people here today. Your future is out ahead of you. That man that was able to walk that cable in Chicago, that was quite a feat to be able to do, quite an accomplishment. But I wonder, what about the rest of his life? Was it in balance? For us today, the Word of God was given to us to give us balance. What I'd like to talk to us today about is something that can cause us to not be successful in this tightrope walk of life. And it is how we balance temporal things. They can be a help to us. They can be a snare to us. What does the Word of God say that can teach me in these areas? Young people, as you look out ahead at what job opportunities you take, what you're going to do in life, there is advice that the Word of God gives us. And there is something I like about the Word of God. It pushes us to be industrious people. It does not give any room for me to be lazy. In fact, it teaches work ethics. There are some verses that I would like for us to look at. A lot of times we will find them in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, giving us some instruction about life. I would like to look at a few of those. In Proverbs, in the 22nd chapter, because we're trying to find our balance in this life, because I want to step over into heaven at the end. Here has given us some instruction. Proverbs 22, and in the 13th verse, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the street. Now, what's that verse telling us? If there was a line out, I wouldn't be going out in the street either. But he's just supposing, you know what? I don't want to get up and go to work. There just might be some trouble out there for me. So I'm not going to press against it. The slothful man says that. There is another verse in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. So as we step over onto this walk of life, it wants to swing us either way. 10 and 18, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. You remember in the story in Proverbs 24, where it says, I was doing a little traveling. I went by the field of the slothful. I went by the vineyard of the man. I saw that there was needed some work to be done on it. And it said, I considered it well. I took a look at it and I realized, you know what? Something different needed to be done. Young people, as you start your life, God has a desire that you put your all into it. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You know, we can just, in nature, he says, hey, watch this right here. This ant is getting out there and providing, and he wants us to do the same. But remember, we're not through yet. Satan would like to take the things that God has given for us that would be a benefit to us and push us clear off the other side. In Ecclesiastes 11 and 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You know, there's going to come a time where it looks like it's fixing to start raining, but I need to go to work, and I just put on my rain jacket and I get on out there and do it. To the men here today, be willing to take on some trouble, because that's what the place that God has given me to do. A few years ago, some of you here may remember it, there was a sort of revolt in America. They called it a revolt against corporate America's greed. And they called it Occupy America. Any of you remember that time? It started out so small. A few people had a grievance about America and the such a contrast of wealth against poor. And so they started putting up tents in some of the city parks. Well, that thing grew because we have social media. That thing grew and mushroomed to where all over the country, it started springing up. People just moving into parks. We're protesting the corporate America's greed. So we're going to live in tents, to the point that police could not even put them out. And it was growing. The upset of the people. And you know what? I started thinking, wait a minute. This thing is going to cause a big problem because it cannot be stopped. And it continued to grow for a little bit, but it was amazing to me. That thing came to a stop all of a sudden. You know what, folks? God has got some things in His power that man cannot even attain to. God shut that thing down so quick. You know how He did it? It's called wintertime. A big old cold spell came, and tents are not insulated. And about 2 days of that, now I would drive by on my way to work every day. You know, I'm still having to work for corporate America because I'm hungry. And drive by those tents. 8 o'clock in the morning, the flaps are still down. They're sound asleep inside. So I just have to tap the horn a little bit and tell them, you know, corporate America is going to have to get up, get to work this morning. But along came a cold spell. And I mean, it got down very, very cold. And they toughed it out for a couple days. And then I noticed one morning the tents were still up there, but there was nobody. It didn't look like anybody around. They went and found them another place to sleep. And then the tents all came down. You know, folks, God has got a plan made for us. And it is for me to be willing to get out there and get after it for my temporal things. There has been in my lifetime scriptures that I use as my alarm clock. One of those is 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man provide not for his own and for those of his own household, he's denied the faith and he's worse than an infidel. Now, if that don't make a man jump up out of bed and get to work, that's a pretty serious scripture. There's another one in Romans. Romans 12. Not slothful in business, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's a verse that says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with your might. If I've got a job that I'm working for someone on, let me put everything in it. You know what? That is one of the best ways to show the world the difference between the world and a Christian. That it's not just when the boss starts walking up that I jump up and I get to work. But he can be gone. And because of these principles that the Bible teaches me, I can be a good employee for him whether he's there or whether he's gone. There was one other one that gives me an alarm clock. If a man doesn't work, a man doesn't eat. You know, the Bible's got some pretty strong things about us being productive. But along with that, if I only step out on this tightrope walk of life with those scriptures, you know what? I'm going to be overbalanced. I'm going to fall off on the other side, and I'll not make heaven my home. Because the Lord wants to balance us out. And I'm thankful for times like this where the Word of God can come forth and help me to see either way. If I need to step up in this area, I see it. If I need to be careful in this area, I see it. Because here is, we move over to the other side. Lest I step on this tightrope walk of life and I put too much into it one way and I fall off the other, there's some warnings given to us, and I'd like to share those today. Because you know what? I have a desire to make heaven my home. And these things, this is our everyday living that I'm talking about today. The things that can cause me to be lost in the end if I'm not careful. Luke 21:34. There are some warnings given to me. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life, so that that day would come upon you unaware. Overcharged. I've had a battery charger before that I leave on and it's supposed to back off when it's charged the battery up, and for some reason it doesn't. And it just keeps on charging until the fluid is running out, the acid is running out of the battery, and you can keep on till you ruin it. The warning is coming to me. Let me be very careful, because my heart can become overcharged. You know what? If I take the advice that the world has to give me today about temporal things, my heart will become overcharged, because I'm only comparing it with things around me. There are some other things that I need to compare it with. I was thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. When he had the dream and Daniel interpreted the dream for him, Daniel said, O king, there's trouble coming. But if you'll turn, if you will change, possibly it could be avoided. For 12 months, it was avoided. And then Nebuchadnezzar did what I would never do publicly, but I want to be careful of even thinking about it in my heart. Nebuchadnezzar took a look at everything that he had, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have been able to build with my own power? Look where I have been able to come. And God humbled him. You know, there are warnings in the scriptures that we not trust in uncertain riches, because they can take wings and fly away. You know, I would love to be living close enough to God to where the temporal things that I have, should they be taken away? You know, it's one thing to say this. It's another thing to have the heart. If my temporal things were taken away in a day, I have this relationship with God where I could be like Job. The Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because then I'm in a relationship with the Lord that I know He will allow me to have back what He wants me to have. Folks, this isn't just about money. This is about learning to trust the Lord for everything. It wasn't just about temporal wealth with Job. The next step that came was when Satan said, yeah, skin for skin, all a man hath will he give for his life. Tell you what, you touch his body and he'll curse you to your face. What I'm talking about today is not just the money in your bank account. It's about me on this tightrope walk of life, being able to have God walking with me every day, to where when adversity strikes, you know, what about when that man is out there halfway in between the two buildings and all of a sudden there's a gust of wind and all of a sudden it changes direction or stops? He has got to be able to compensate that he doesn't go off. Folks, we're going to have to be able to have the Lord to help us to be able to compensate in temporal things, not just money, in the trust that I have in God, that whatever He allows into my life. You remember when Job's wife said, just curse God and die. And Job came back with, you speak as a foolish woman. Should not God be able to put into my life good things and also bad things? It says, in all these things Job sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. Folks, every one of us can look around us and find people that got on this tightrope walk of life with a determination, I'm going to make heaven my home in the end. And something came along that caused them to lose their balance, and they're gone today. I am no better man than that, except that I'll put my hand in the Lord's and say, Lord, my desire is to make heaven my home. I ask you to send into my life the things that will give me the best opportunity. And then should he do it and adversity strikes, that I would be able to see God in it. You know, Job could have very easily, when those servants came to Job and told him, the Sabaeans are the ones that took this, the Chaldeans are the ones that took this. When Job finished it all off, he didn't say, I'm going to remember those Chaldeans. He didn't say, I'm going to have to learn to forgive the Chaldeans. He brushed it all aside and he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus gave the example with the loaves and the fishes, you know, he could have told those folks, I want you to see what I am about to do. You have never seen anything like this before. You watch me. Instead, what he did was he took what he had and he gave thanks to his Father. It's an example for us today. In a time where I can accumulate some things, I have a chance to have a reminder at least 3 times a day to go back to God and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the things that you have allowed me to have. We don't want to get to the place that thanking the Lord for our food is just something I do before I get to eat. No, it's a time where we need to be reminded, it's not my hand. And maybe we ought to think about Nebuchadnezzar every once in a while when we're praying. Lord, I realize it's not my hand that got me this. I want to thank you for the health and the strength that you have given me. And Lord, should you take that strength away, and I've still got some distance on the tight rope yet to go, I will not charge you foolishly. So, if we were truly to balance life, we're going to have to add one more factor into it. I'd like to look at a verse in James, because this is what we normally do. James, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. This gives me something else to measure this walk with. Go to now, ye that say, 4 and 13 of James. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. We're going to continue there a year. We're going to buy and sell and get gain. That is so easy to do. I have plans that when this meeting is over, I will go back to work. I will do these things. I have plans that I'm going to do. And this one tells me, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It's just a vapor. It's here for a little bit of time. It appears for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. And here's the reason that we need to say, if the Lord will, we'll do these things. Lord willing, whether I say it out loud, but more important than saying it out loud, because it can just become a repetition, I want to say it in my mind each time. Lord, if you're willing, I have these plans in my life that I want to be able to make. There is another place in Hebrews, a group of people in the last part of Hebrews 11 and 13. It says they were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And you know, I have to wonder, those that are watching my life, are they able to tell, you know what, I'm seeking another country. This is just my temporary abode. I'm heading somewhere else. They desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. For me to live my life realizing, you know what, this is temporary. I'm headed out of here. This could be just a lot of distractions to me of making that heavenly country. And I need the Lord to be able to guide me through my life. Another verse tells me in Mark 8 and 36, what would it profit if I gained the whole world and lost my soul? You know, as I'm going about my temporal affairs, I need to ask that question. What would it profit if I were able to gain all these things, but they caused me to lose my direction, caused me to lose my balance? There was a man that did that. There was a man that was not slothful. He took his occupation serious. And we get to read about it in the 12th chapter of Luke. There was nothing wrong with him taking his job serious. In Luke 12 and 20, it starts out with, there's a verse that probably we need to start with in the 15th verse. Take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. There are other things that are more important in life than the things that I possess. And then it goes on down. Maybe this man had heard about all those scriptures about slothfulness and did not want to have it in his life, and he got serious about his living and was an industrious person. There was nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with, why would you plant a crop if you don't expect it to give an increase? Why would you plant a crop and not study a better way to be able to cultivate it that I could get more? There wasn't anything wrong with that. There's something here that I've looked at. 17th verse, it really does not say that this ever came out to be a spoken word. It says he thought within himself, saying, it was still in the thought process. And you know what? That's where all of these things start, is with a thought. It is very important for us to ask God to take control of my thinking. When it starts, you know, there was nothing wrong with him asking this question. What am I going to do? I've got more fruit in right now than I'm going to be able to handle. That was a reasonable thought. But it's when his thinking kept on going to where he took in his soul and said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. And you know what? That's what the world around us would push us for. Stack up a pile of cash. Retirement is coming. You know what? To the Christian, what retirement years really means? Really, to everyone. I'm a step away from eternity. I'm real close to finishing this race, and I want to make sure I make heaven my home. And this one said, God said to him, thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. And then all those things that I have built up. You know what? He didn't go from here and say, I make a new rule. No one is to have over a certain amount in the bank. No. It says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What it's telling me is, set up those true riches. Make sure I am putting what is very important. Colossians 3:1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Okay, so do I get to revert back then and say, okay, my affections are all above. I'm calling my boss and turning my notice. Uh-uh. That's not going to work either. This is where my affections are. I still have this other to do. But it's a balance. You know, I watched that man as he was on the cable, halfway between the buildings, and he had this long pole. Now, to me, that pole would be in the way. But that pole looked like it might have been 30 foot long, and it had a little arch to it, and he's holding that. And that is what was giving him balance. I want to tell you what will give us balance. It's the Word of God. In this day and time that I'm living in, when the world will tell you, put out your heart into it. You go for it, stack up the cash, and you can live like nobody else. Folks, I want to live like nobody else, but I want it to be on the other side. This is not a message to tell us either side. It's a balance. Go to the ant. I've got to be productive. Be real careful that production does not take me to the place of the rich farmer. Ponder. Seriously consider. You know, we're in a time where things are going fast. Our mind is going fast. It would do me good to stop sometime, turn everything off in my mind, say, Lord, would you visit me? I want to ponder the direction that my path has taken me. There is a verse that is guaranteed to put balance in my life. It is in Matthew. Matthew 6:33. This is a guarantee for every one of us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is the most important thing in my life. I do need a job. I need a car. I need a house. I won't be getting rid of those things. But I tell you what, when you seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things will be added or taken away as God sees would be the best thing for me to make heaven my home. Folks, I want to tell you, we teach trust in the Lord. And when you first hear that word, what comes to my mind is cancer in the last stages. And I'm trying to trust the Lord. I want to tell you where trust the Lord starts. It's way back here, young people, when you first start out to seek your occupation for the future. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. this is the most important thing for me. Because I tell you, when I look back over my life, when I first got married and looked for a job, I looked for one thing. If I had two options, which one pays the most first and what gives the best vacation next? Now I'm getting older, and I'm starting to think different. Folks, I want to tell you, there's something else you need to ask the Lord when you're looking about a job. God, is it possible this one pays a whole lot more? But is it possible that there are influences on that job that would cause me to be distracted and could possibly miss heaven? I cannot see that myself. But you know, when I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got these options here. Young people, I want to encourage you to do this. Lord, I've got these options. I'll put out the applications. There's a place for you to do. I'll put out the applications. Now, Lord, I want to ask you, you see the people I'll be working with. You see the environment. You know everything. And I ask you to block the ones that you see are not best for me. Is that too straight a living? Folks, that's what God has for us. That I'll be able to trust Him, and then I don't have to be upset that that job opportunity did not come through. I can say, thank you, Lord. There must be a plan in it. I believe He wants to direct our lives just that much. There is a verse in the book of Haggai. You know, He said, you're having a lot of trouble in your life. You're sowing much and you're bringing in little. Got some bags that you're putting your money in, and they got a hole in the bottom of it. Quick as I put them in, they disappear. You ever have that happen in your life? It seemed like just about the time I get a little money saved up, the washing machine quits or the car breaks down, and it just wants to drain it right back out again. Well, this one says it doesn't mean that it's going to change for me about how it happens, but He tells me, I want you to put me first in your life. You take care of the spiritual things first, and then you'll see a difference in your life. Does it mean that I'm going to get a better paying job if I put God first? I have found something in my life when I put God first. There does not have to be an increase of money, but He can cause things to stretch like didn't happen before. To where, you know what? When I started out, we got married. I said, okay, Cheryl, I'll tell you what, you take care of the home, and I'll do whatever it takes to provide a living. And people at work would say that it does not work in the time that we're living in. It requires that both work if you're going to be successful. I want to tell you what I can testify. God can make things work better than we could ever have known. And if it hadn't, if it had to be that we have to come in behind, I want to tell you something. There is nothing that has more value. Than a mother that stays at home and puts her children first in her life. I took it for granted when I was at home. Just thought that's the way it's supposed to be. Mom's supposed to be there having supper ready for me when I get home. You know, folks, that's not the normal. But it is the most valuable. And when we put God first in our life, He fills in the gaps. And if it is not even money that He gives me, He will help me to be balanced in my life so that I will be able, in the end, to step off of this tightrope that so many people have fallen from to disaster spiritually. Step off of this tightrope of life with success. I'd like to close. I'd like for us to sing a song together. Because I tell you, in the end of it, I'm not going to be able to do it on my own. I can say, okay, I know what I need to do, but I'm going to need the Lord to be able to walk with me day by day and give me direction for my life. This song is song number 288. This song is a prayer. Lord, I'm on this tightrope of life. And Lord, I need your help. Out on this dark world, this prayer he's asking, Lord, I want you to guide my footsteps. So as we think about that tightrope, 3/4-inch steel cable, can't do it on my own. I'm going to need the Lord to help me. This one says, calm now the wild storm, clear up the way. Keep me from falling by night and day. He has promised to do that. I only need to recognize how much I need him and call out for help to him. I desire your prayers. And young people, I want to tell you, this is the blessing of living for God. I don't have to go about it blindly. I can ask the Lord, I cannot see tomorrow. Lord, I don't even know the best things that need to come into my life to give me the best chance to make heaven my home. Had I the choosing of my pathway, guaranteed in blindness, I'd go astray. Because everything I would ask for is, Lord, give me good things in my life. If he sent trouble, I would only want them to go away. So, Lord, help me to realize I want to make heaven my home. The temporal things can be a distraction to me if I let them, but they don't have to be. I can be guided clearly through this life, and I'm thankful for it. I desire your prayers.